It happens when you love something, you just end up floating to the top, you know, even on accident.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is conversation number 78, and I'm so excited that you're here today. I got to speak with somebody from my hometown of Colorado Springs, Colorado, and his name is Tyler Peoples. He was featured on Shark Tank. He made a deal with the Sharks, and he went back home victorious. He was an executive chef at many top restaurants in the Colorado Springs area, and he left that, and he went to go work at the Springs Rescue Mission, feeding the hungry. His story is nothing short of incredible, and I was so excited to get him on here, and the way I found out about him was pretty interesting as well, so I'm excited to share that with you all. Remember, you can find this conversation and all the other conversations and the contemplation episodes on christophlewis.com/podcast, and you can find it on any major podcast app. You can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis, and I'm very honored that you're here listening to the podcast, giving me some of your time, and I hope that you gain value from these podcasts. I pour my heart and soul into these. I promise you, I love doing these so very much, and I want to help you find something that you absolutely love to do as well. So if you know somebody else that needs to hear these conversations, I would be very appreciative if you could share it with them as well. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. I was telling you offline, I was so excited how I met you. And I think it like goes back to, I'll have to tell this story. I think I told you in our initial email months ago, but I was watching Shark Tank with my wife out here in Washington, D.C. And I see this guy from my hometown of Colorado Springs on Shark Tank. And I'm like, that's awesome. I never see anybody do that. And you did great. You walked away with a deal from the Sharks. And I was like, I have to contact this guy. And I preach to everybody all the time, like social media, everybody, it gets a bad rep, but it's so incredible because now, like, now we met and now we're talking on a podcast. And I can't wait to like dig into your life and share your story with everybody else. But I saw you on Shark Tank on TV, looked you up, we got in touch, I emailed you, and then like now we're podcasting. So it's incredible. And I looked into you even more. I talked to my brother, who I guess we're mutual friends with on social media. He was on the podcast. Yeah, Mickey Cockrell. And then my other friend, Nate Wilson, and he was on the podcast as well. And it's just incredible how life unfolds and how you're here now. So for people that don't know who you are, can we have like a quick synopsis of who you are?
Yeah, sure. My name is Tyler Peoples, and I'm born and raised in Colorado Springs. I was on Shark Tank, and right now I'm the director of operations at the Springs Rescue Mission. Now it's my new job.
Awesome.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a snapshot.
Yeah, no, I think it's incredible because when I looked into you even more, because I was like, something else is going on here. Like, there's something different about you. And I like, there's something going on here because, like, I like looking into, like, when I'm intrigued, like, I reached out to you for a reason. Like, I don't just reach out to anybody. And I saw what was going on there. And I'm always intrigued by, like, how people get on Shark Tank, but it was way more than that. And, like, I told you quickly off camera was that it's because I love talking about, like, pursuing what you want in life. And I'm all about, like, career transitions. And more so helping people. And like when I read the synopsis of what was your life, like and all the things you were doing, and you started with, you said you liked art and you wanted to just find a job. You found a job in the culinary arts and then you became quite successful at it. But then you left that to do what you just told us in the Springs Rescue Mission. And I would actually like you to kind of explain how, like what your mindset was for everybody, because I think it's harder for some people to wrap their heads around like being quote unquote successful in what you're doing. I mean, it seemed like you had some really good mentors in the field and you rose to the top and you were really good, like the best at what you were doing. And you left working in fine dining as a chef to go help people. And I just, that's so cool. Like, saying it's cool is underselling it, but it's really impressive. And I just wanted to be able to highlight that. And I'd love to hear it in your own words, like your mindset behind that whole entire switch.
Sure. I love cooking. Like, that was a pretty good synopsis, actually. I want to be an artist. And, being an artist is probably the hardest thing you can do. And so to kind of afford my art habit, I got a job in cooking and in restaurants. And I realized how much I loved that. I love serving people. I love making people happy. I love new ingredients. The world of food is awesome because it's agriculture, it's history, it's community, it's science, it's timing, it's craftsmanship, it's art. Like, the subject of food covers pretty much everything that's important to a human. Mm-hmm. Like when it's your birthday or your wedding, it's food that initiates celebration. If there was no food, you couldn't really celebrate anything. So it's like getting into the food world, it's like, man, I love this, and it happens when you love something, you just end up floating to the top, even on accident.
It's just so cool.
I love it.
It's so cool how that happens. I mean, just did it happen on accident, like that you picked culinary arts though, or how did you select that? And you ended up enjoying liking it when you selected it, or did you select that on purpose?
That's kind of an interesting story. So, when I was a little boy, my mom was the housekeeper at a fancy restaurant, fine dining restaurant, in Manitou.
Okay.
And on the weekends and in the summer, my brother and I would have to go help her out. And our job was to roll up the big, heavy kitchen mats and throw them in the back of my dad's truck. And he would take them to the car wash and wash them.
Sure.
And in doing this, you see these chefs with tall white hats and big coats. And these guys were German or Austrian or something. And it just seemed like everything they're doing is magical. Like, they have special uniforms. They're using a different language. Like, there's fire, there's knives. It's like opening up the curtain behind a magician.
And to a kid too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It really impressed me. And I think I was like seven, maybe six or seven, maybe seven or eight anyway. And then I asked my brother, I said, cause he was there with me, how long do you think it takes to become an executive chef? And we didn't know. We were like, maybe 35 years.
So kids are
there
awesome.
I was, and I said to my brother, you know what? I'm going to be an executive chef. At this point on, I know that's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
I totally forgot about that until later on. I was in that very same restaurant as the executive chef, like years later, that conversation.
You're blowing my mind right now. That's crazy.
Yeah. That conversation just unraveled back into my mind. Like, oh my God, it's true. Like, I said that. Like, I know where I was standing when I was a little boy and my mom was a housekeeper and I said that.
That's,
and it's true.
That's emotional. That's cool. That's insane. Like, how many years was it? Was it 35? You beat it, right?
it was less than 20. It was around there.
It's still incredible because you said you completely forgot about it. How old were you when you started in the field?
In high school and after high school, it's easy to get a job in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
So
I did it down there too, as well. I worked downtown as well, but it sounds like it was maybe like 12, maybe 15 years or something until you did that. And I'm blown away by that because a lot of questions that I've asked of myself even, but of other people have asked me is like, okay, you talk to a lot of people and a lot of people like seem to be knowing what they're doing, but my problem is that I don't know what I kind of know I like things, but I don't know how to apply that to do things. So it was kind of cool that you were mesmerized as a child in the back of the house. And then you did that like 20 some odd years later, and you kind of had a feeling, at least when you were a kid. And I, like many other people, didn't really have too many of those feelings. I mean, I had a lot of things that interested me. So to me, do you think that when you were a child and you were in the back of the house there and seeing those chefs running around, do you think that guided you to choose the job that you did then initially? Maybe without even knowing, because you said you didn't even think about it until years later. But
yeah, I've asked myself that, like, is it because I was there It's that in like, yeah, you know,
I think so, maybe. Yeah, from yeah,
like an inescapable magnetic draw. Like, oh, I just can't. That's a good way to,
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I like asking that question because everybody's so different. This is the year, the 78th person that I've talked to, and everybody's just so different. And it's so fun to ask these questions to see how people start at that. Yeah,
I would have, I would have wanted to do something else, honestly. You know, like it. If I planned out my life, I wouldn't have chosen that.
Wow.
You know, like I wasn't on that trajectory.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's funny how that works, right?
Yeah. I would have gone to school. I would have been a professional. I would have, you know, like, I don't know, something.
That's crazy. But
I don't know. If you could plan out your life, how different it would be than how it actually was.
I don't think it would be as good though, because think about all the things you've done now and think about all the things that, or all the people that you've been able to help, all the experiences, like how I found out about you and the amount of people you're helping there locally is, it's insurmountable. And I know that in my life I go, oh, sometimes if I could go back and change things, but then I take it to the next step and I go, absolutely not. I would never change a damn thing, not a thing about my life right now, because it's, like the reason, like everything in our lives, I love this saying, but everything in our lives has got us to where like you and I are having this conversation right now about what we're having it about, and people are going to be able to listen to it in about 2 weeks. And for me, that is so cool that all those events have led to that, because you care about helping people, because I care about helping people. I want people to be motivated to do things like you've done, like gone out there and help people, and not just, because like you helped yourself, you went out there, you got mentors, you did more of what you loved, you did more of what you loved, and then you kept on going out there, then you left what you loved to do a different path of what you loved, and you're able to help people and share your story that way. So I want to encourage people by giving these like real life examples of people like yourself to be like, hey, look, there's so many ways to do this, and you can leave certain paths, and don't just follow one path, and kind of see at least that there are other paths out there. So it's pretty wild.
You don't know, like, along your life, you don't know what, you know, how important things are when they're happening.
Yeah.
You know, you may not know, but in the rear view mirror, you're really able to see those gems in life that were like mile markers or like, you know, off ramps or, but as it's happening, you know, I'm just in a kitchen rolling up greasy mats. Doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah.
20 years later, you're like, wow.
But it's so cool to look back and be able to see that, though. You're right. It's just like they say, I always joke about the good old days. Like, you never know that you're in the good old days when you're in the good old days. And only when you look back do you realize that they were the good old days. So I try to apply that mentality and just, okay, I said that right now in the present day. Like, maybe this is the good old days. And I'm going to, like, look back into when I was having this conversation with Tyler and being like, man, those were the good old days. Like, I love when I was podcasting or something, you know, and learning about all these people's stories and hearing it, you know, from their mouth and not just reading about it or watching about it. And that's what's, I think, great of when we can look back and how you describe like being mesmerized again in the back of the house, and how we can, it's great how we can look back now and apply that to now, to the present. And then also kind of carry that with us forward in the future. So like when we come up to other instances or occurrences in life and meet other people in our life, we can kind of take that. And I think everybody always says live in the moment, but I think like being cognizant of all three, like the past, the present, and the future, helps you live more in the moment and understand
that. Yeah,
you're
right about that. Yeah, the moment is all three.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Ah, it's so crazy how that happens. And so I kind of want to know more specifically though, like what from working in fine dining, as some people would say, being an executive chef, of course, for people that aren't familiar with the culinary arts, being at the top, like running the kitchen as an executive chef and some of the restaurants that you've worked in, what's the mindset behind you leaving that behind? Because that's a lot of work. That's a years of work to leave that behind to work at the Springs Rescue Mission where you're helping people.
It's not exactly a light switch, you know.
Sure.
But it's like if we had really bad days, so you're feeding thousands of people every day, thousands of people, lots of effort, lots of passion goes into it. You do that day after day after day, and then you just kind of feel like a waning a little bit, like, you know what? And so this was my waning. This is like the thing that kept like popping up in my mind, kind of like a shadow in my mind. And it was, you know, these customers are not hungry.
Yeah.
And so, they were hungry. They wanted dinner, but, I didn't know what that meant exactly, but I just thought, you know what? I want to feed hungry people. I'm doing, all these courses, fancy stuff, rare ingredients, all of this stuff. And these people aren't even hungry. And they're hungry, but you know what I mean. There was something more that I was like, you know what? I could
Pleasure,
be feeding
pleasure,
people.
yeah, pleasure as opposed to people that actually need it to sustain themselves.
And then, I had a friend who volunteered at the rescue mission. And then I said, I'm going to go down there and volunteer. But honestly, I was too afraid. I was like, oh, these people are crazy down there. And then if I ever had a really bad day on my way home, I would just, even though it wasn't on my way at all, I would drive down all the way downtown, just drive by the rescue mission. And I knew that's where I was going to work. I
Wow.
know that's where hungry people are. I do feed people. Those people are hungry. It's just a matter of time. And I actually applied there 3 times over the span of 10 years. And
Wow. I'm
I
surprised they
applied.
didn't want somebody of your stature, like executive chef, like pretty good
You
track
think?
record.
And it's funny how life goes because you kind of get an itch to move on. You're like, okay, I'm new at this. I get an itch to move on. I'm going to apply somewhere else. And I didn't get the job, but instead I got a promotion or something, a lure in the other direction, so I applied there several times, not even a callback, nothing, just really, weird. Like, I don't know how to get into this place, but I know I'm supposed to be there. And then, there was a cooking competition and I ended up winning. And so the local chef association asked me to do like a presentation in front of other chefs. And I'm doing this presentation and I see one of the tables, these guys in chef coats, and it says Springs Rescue Mission on it. And then after the presentation, I went over there and I said, "Hey, what's up with you guys? Like, I've applied here 3 times over the last 10 years. You guys haven't even called me back." But I was kind of kidding, because by then I had figured that wasn't for me. This wasn't in the cards, right? And they looked at each other and they were like, "Really? Like, are you serious? Or are you just like being condescending?" And no, I'm not being condescending. Anyway, it was really like a couple weeks later, and I was working at the mission.
That's great. So what do they do? Just ignore you for the last 10 years because they thought you were condescendingly applying for the job?
I don't know. They said they had no idea. But
I don't
I
know
don't know.
about
Maybe
that.
it just wasn't. It wasn't the time. It wasn't. You know. It wasn't.
Sure. Yeah.
Just Tyler as a cook applying there. It was like, oh, this guy, who's able to like bring this stuff, the experience, the kind of credential stuff, that it took me that 10 years to accumulate that credentialed stuff. And
It's for the better.
for
And
the
that's
better.
one of those things that you don't know at the time. You're like, crap, they're not returning my calls, my emails, my whatever. And then you keep on trying and you keep on putting yourself in positions of opportunity, even though they may not seem like it at the time. Like it sounds like you didn't know that they were going to be there, but they were there. And then
I
you
didn't know,
approached
yeah.
them,
I didn't know them at all.
but the thing is, like some people might say like, "Hey, it was luck," but it wasn't luck because maybe it was luck that they were there, but you did make a decision to approach them. You did make a decision to say what you said to them. So, you're right. Like you were able to, I think it like this situation that you've just described is like if you want to do something, continue in the pursuit of it, regardless, and like keep working hard in the process. Like you kept on working hard in the process, undoubtedly. You were doing all these other things, and then when the opportunity presented itself, that's why I like I understand the theory of luck, but at the same time, like I said, like putting yourself in positions and then like acting on them kind of negates the luck side of it. Like maybe that happened, but you acted on it and you worked on it for so long and you made it happen and you talked to them. And one of the things I really liked that you said is you listened to yourself. Is you didn't say it in those words, but you said, "I know I'm supposed to be there." Like you said it, like you drive out of your way to go by there. And it just kind of answers the question I was asking you earlier in the podcast about if you don't know what you're doing, maybe there's like a voice like, what do you maybe we would answer like this for the listeners. We go, "Well, what is something that's always on your mind? What do you always feel driven to?" If there is something, then listen to that voice. Like, just listen to yourself and keep on working hard to get there because that's what you did for years. And I think that's pretty incredible. And that's what I would recommend for anybody. And then if you don't even know if you don't have any voices like calling you in a direction or anything pulling you in a direction, then that's a different conversation. But I think that's a good
recommendation. Yeah, I think that's good advice. If you feel something, you should also say it, you know? And,
okay.
And once you said it, like, are you convinced of it yourself? You know, I remember one day I was still working at a fancy restaurant, and we were out back, and I told the other manager there, I said, you know, I'm going to put in my notice. I'm going to put in my, I don't know what it was, like 2-year notice or something. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen first. I'm either going to work at the rescue mission or I'm going to be on QVC, but I need to put in my notice because I'm doing other stuff.
Wow.
And, and the timeline didn't work out exactly right, but that's another one of those instances. I look back and today I work at the rescue mission and my product is on QVC. And I said that kind of out of frustration, but it was like, you know, I believed it enough. You know, there was hardly any evidence at that time.
That's such a great point, though. Like, there wasn't hardly any evidence, but you believed in it and enough. And it's like, it's so cool you bring that up organically, because I love talking about selling ourselves short, because so many things that I've done in my life, I was like, holy crap, like, I'm selling myself short. I need to be like setting my goals higher, because I'm like doing these things, like things that I never thought I would do before. Like, I got out of the military last year after 9 years. I was so scared to do it. Didn't think I'd get a job, got a better job than I thought. And it just keeps on getting better from there, because I'm like actively trying and setting my goals harder and then following through on it. So I love that you said that and you did it yourself. Like, that is no easy task for somebody that has never been in that field at all to just get. I mean, you can go all the way to like the Shark Tank to do, because the way you did it was like not a normal path, but it's still incredible. Wow. Like think about, like, that's funny. Like, we were talking about you know, thinking about to be mesmerized by the chefs, but think about like, oh, I want something on QVC, but now you can look back and be like, think about how you got it onto QVC and be like, dude, that's so much cooler. Like, that's crazy. I would never imagine that.
At that time when I said that, I didn't even draw a picture of my idea. I just had, you know, like of my products. It was like,
sure.
It was like really no evidence of that, you know?
Holy moly. Well, it happened, man. So it's like, it always, so what I just described and what you just described with like reaching things that we wanted, that we almost thought were unattainable, but we always believed in ourselves. Like, again, we were talking about the past, present, and future. So again, I take like that knowledge of the past and present and I go, holy smokes, if I can do that, what else can I do? You know what I'm saying? Like, what else can I do? So like, I would just challenge anybody, and I try to challenge myself daily. Like, I have this whiteboard up here. I have all these things I want to do back here, all these goals. And I'm like, is that, I set that goal too low. Like, I got that one done and I got that one done. What else can I do? What else can I do? And, you know, I always say, like, if that's not you, that's fine. Like, if you're good where you're at and you just want to coast, that's fine. But that's not this podcast. This podcast is about like talking to people like you that like had these dreams, these hopes, these aspirations that were just these mythological creature hopes, but then you followed through because you believed in yourself, and now they weren't like dreams, they were goals, and goals are obtainable, and you went after it, and like, you didn't even think that you were gonna get it per se. And then the way that you got it was just like mind-boggling, and it just helped you out even more than you could ever imagine. Because it's not like you just got it on QVC. You met great people, you made good contacts, and your product probably got out there more than if it would have in another way, because it had national publicity.
Mm-hmm.
So crazy how that happens.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't believe it, nobody else will. So you got to be the first one to kind of push the domino.
Yeah, you do, because nobody cares. It's, how many times have I been told this in my careers, whether it was military or out in the corporate world, like, nobody cares about your career more than you. Like, if you want something to be done, I don't care if it's friends, family, spouse, like people that even really, really care about you, you care about you. You have to care about you, and you have to like really try your hardest to do what you want to do. And I kind of want to stray for a second and go back to, I know you had a lot of people or a lot of mentors along the way as well, and I'm sure you could attribute a lot of what you've done to those people as well. And were those people that like, not accidentally like came into your life, but were you able to select any of the mentors that you had in the culinary arts, or how did that happen?
No, I would say I didn't select them because I wouldn't have selected such good quality mentors, you know.
That's hilarious, though. That's humbling.
So just if it, yeah, you know, like for example, my great grandma lived with us. So my family immigrated from Colombia
Okay.
and in the 80s or 70s or 80s. And we all lived together because it's pretty typical, you know. And my great grandma lived with us, and she pretty much raised us. And then she would say stuff that you just, when you're a little kid, you believe it, you know. She said,
Yeah,
"Oh,
that's so
you can
cool,
do anything. Yeah, you can do anything." You know, like stuff that everybody should hear.
though.
Like if you want it, you can have it, you know. And she just she was she lived to be 101 years old, and
Wow.
so when she was raised again, she was like 70, 80, 90, 100, right? And she just had this can-do attitude,
That's
you
so
know, and she
cool.
just, you know, kind of raised us that way, like, oh yeah, we pretty much could do anything. And there really, it really doesn't matter if we have an education, we don't have an education, our family is immigrants, like, you know, all four generations live in the same house, like, it really doesn't
Wow.
matter,
Yeah.
you know, you got it. So that was a pretty good early foundation.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, I mentioned that my mom was a housekeeper at at a fancy restaurant. And the owner of the restaurant happened to be, he moved here from Austria when he was a little boy. He was older at the time. He's still alive now. And he went from Austria to Cuba during the Second World War. And he ended up being a chef for Fidel Castro.
Oh,
She's like,
wow.
well, that's crazy. Anyway, long story, he ends up in Colorado. And this nice German guy and a big risk taker, you know. He left his country, he moved to
Sure.
Cuba. You know, it was kind of a chaotic situation. He moves to Colorado, so he's a risk taker.
Yeah.
And he buys an old property and makes it a beautiful landmark restaurant. And he and I met then when I was young, and my mom also cleaned his house, and so there
Okay.
was a lot of opportunity to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
And actually, so it's 3 o'clock here. At 11 o'clock today, I just got off the phone with him. We've been friends this entire time.
Holy moly.
Yeah, he and I are do scrapbooking together.
That's awesome.
yeah, so he has a love for culinary history,
Okay.
and so yeah, we've been friends this whole time,
That's
and
so cool.
he's a passionate guy, and he always wants to know what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
And when I became the executive chef at the restaurant that he, you know, like brought to life, he was really there for me, you know,
Yeah.
and he
How
was,
cool is
you
that?
know, like always promoting me in public and always like helping me build confidence, you know.
That's awesome. That's very
So
important.
there's no way I would have selected him as a mentor because I would have thought, no way this guy wants to talk to me. I'm the son of the housekeeper,
Yeah.
you know.
Wow. Life
So
is crazy, man.
that is
It's
crazy.
so crazy how things come together. Whether people want to say, you know, it's meant to be, or it's fate, or it's luck, or however you want to quantify it or call it, but regardless of any of that, it's what happens. And again, like, you took advantage of it, and here you are, like, years later, decades later, and you're still talking to this gentleman. And to be able to have such an influence in your life, and both between that and your great grandmother, and both being able to, like, they were so positive. I think you even said that about her, but it's such a positive influence in your life, and they had this like can-do attitude, and you were saying, like, as a little kid, just saying things that, and you just believe them. And I think that's like, we lose that as adults, and we lose this confidence. So on the one hand, you were saying your grandmother was like this positive, like, can-do attitude, and this other gentleman, you were saying similar things as well, but in combination, for you to both get them, like, we just need to believe in ourselves more.
Yeah,
We like,
it's okay
why
to
do we
say
lose that?
wild, wild things, you
Yeah.
know, and
Yeah.
believe them about yourself. It's okay, you
Yeah.
know.
I just want people to follow through with that stuff, you know, and
Yeah,
to
just
take
because
that
you're older
away.
doesn't mean you have to be more
Yeah.
rational.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't Yeah, it's applicable in certain areas, but at a certain time, like, throw that, you have to know, like, you have to be discretionary. Like, you have to know when to throw that out. Like, I would consider myself a rational person most of the time, but at some times, like, if some people talk to me, like, I can see they're giving me crazy eyes. Like, they're like, dude, that's crazy. Like, I can't believe like you invest that way or you said that or whatever. And I'm just like, for the most part, yeah, I'm rational. But sometimes I'm just like, these are my goals that were my dreams, and I'm getting after them. I don't care how crazy you look at me. Like, I'm going to do it. And then like, you're able to do it with all the things that you've done. So I think it's, and that's why I always like that question. It doesn't always come out, but it is very unique with you, with having that influence within your own home and then with this other gentleman instilling this confidence in within you. Because sometimes, you're right, we don't have the confidence within ourselves, and it's so good to have an outside person just telling you, hey, be confident. Like, look at all the opportunity that you have, and you can do it. And I love all of that, and that's really cool. And then, so that was your at a very early age, it sounds like, and then some of it's continued to the present day, and I think that's quite incredible. And then I think it's very, it's a very humbling to hear you say that I couldn't even picked, I couldn't have had good mentors because I couldn't even pick them. So I think it's funny how, like we were saying, it's crazy how life comes together and how you can be able to say that about yourself too.
When you pick your peer group, you kind of pick people that are similar to you. Probably a better idea if you were brave enough is to pick somebody that's like really like out there, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know, somebody, you know, a marathon winner, an Olympian, yeah,
somebody really maybe who you strive to be more like in some areas, somebody that's already doing that, somebody that you can look up to. I absolutely agree. Of course, people say like you are an average of, you know, the five people you're around, and I do notice that the older I grow, the more particular I am about the who I spend my time with. And it's just,
yeah, that's true.
Part of it's because I have like so little time right now that I have to do that. But I just, my goals are so strong. My goals are so, so very real, and they're tough, and they're going to take like all of my time being structured very, very well in a, it's not always the right direction. Cause like you said, we don't know at the time, but I think if we know in our heads, in our hearts, in our minds that we are at least trying to make the best decision possible every single day, I'm very confident that we will get to where we want to get and even far surpass that, like we were talking about. But it all starts with that confidence within yourself that you were lucky enough to hear from this gentleman.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow. That's so cool. And I can't, it seems like every conversation I have, I'm like, I can't believe it's 30 minutes already. I'm like looking over at the clock, like, It's unbelievable to be able to dive into that. And I think it's so cool. And I really do hope that people have those opportunities. And I would just say what I got from that is like, you may not always be able to pick your mentor, but don't let a good mentor pass you by. And you may not know that at the time, but if somebody's in your life and they're helping you out and they're very positive and they're trying to instill confidence in you and they're saying you can do it, don't push that person away and let them, you know, be in your life more, because that person's trying to help you out. Because like we were saying, not everybody cares about you like you do. So if there is somebody, a unique individual coming into your life that genuinely wants to help them or help you, let them help you.
And even the opposite, like you can be the crazy mentor, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
You know, like even if you feel like, you know, I'm going somewhere, I haven't arrived yet, but you know what? The things that you've picked up along the way are really valuable to people who haven't made it that far yet. So
absolutely, yeah, we're all different places of life, and we can all help somebody and we can all be helped. And I think we just have to be willing to be helped and to help, and just know that it doesn't start and stop with you. Mm-hmm. Cool, Tyler, thank you so much. If people want to reach out to you, is what's the best way to reach out to you if they want to kind of peer into your mind?
They can reach out, I would say email me. Email is tylerp@springsrescuemission.org.
Okay, well, I have your email and I'm going to throw it into the show notes for everybody listening, and you'll be able to contact him if you'd like to maybe ask him some questions that we didn't answer here, because we probably could have gone on, like I always say, for quite a long while and diving deeper into your whole entire life. That's absolutely incredible, and I absolutely love everything you've done and what you continue to do. And I'm sure like you're going to just continue doing more amazing things and in our hometown and inspire other people to do things like that as well. So thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I will talk to you later and have a good night.
All right. Thanks. You too.
See ya.
Thank you.